Okay, welcome back. Well, we spoke about security in the cloud. We said that the Microsoft data centers are secure. We spoke about layers of security. We spoke about application security as our main business. We spoke about identity, claim-based identity and role-based identity. And we demonstrated both using membership provider and Windows Identity Foundation in the cloud. Now, we will continue. And we will speak about another service called the Access Control Service. This adds on to the talk we had about claim-based identity in the cloud. Well, yes, claim-based identity is the advanced way to do identity today. And you see that in many different platforms. Some are Microsoft, some are not Microsoft. And is that it does make sense today that an application would like to federate more than one identity provider. I would like to be able to work against many STSs, many security token services, and I would like to map claims that I get from one security token service to another claim, and then use that claim in the app. So I would want to have an STS, my own STS, which would work with other STSs, for example, Live ID. And then Live ID would give me some claims. I would take that claim, those claims, I would map them to other types of claims, and then I would hand the actual application with a token containing my claims. This is something I would like to have. My users would be very happy to authenticate to my app using their identity in other identity provider, for example, Live ID.
Very
And
true.
I would love to have users that have already an identity with Live ID authenticating against my app because I don't want to handle their
You don't
identities.
want to handle it, and you don't want them to have the chance to walk away. You know, you say, okay, here, I want to buy something. Great, here, set up an account. Oh, man, not again. You don't want them to have that excuse.
Exactly. Users do not have do not want to create accounts. They do not want to supply the details again and again. And I don't want them to do that.
I
I am
agree.
very happy to have a single authentication experience with a single identity provider. Let them create an identity there, and then come to me.
It's almost a specialization thing, isn't it? You know, that's not your main business. It's somebody else's main business. Much better to let somebody who really knows what the hell they're doing handle the identity, and you just use the results of their handling it.
Again, so to have that, I need a certain piece of infrastructure,
Okay.
and this infrastructure is mainly integrity, I would say, or connectivity, something that knows to take several identity providers and to integrate against all of them, and then to provide my app with the exact information it needs. So that's a classic integration business. So we have such infrastructure with the Azure platform. And we have that in the App Fabric domain. The Windows Azure App Fabric is the integration infrastructure from the Azure platform, if I may say so. In the App Fabric, we have a service bus, which deals with actual connectivity. How do application A connects to application B using App Fabric as a mediator to overcome issues like firewall, NAT, etc. And other issues of integration is identity. Exactly that. It's access control. I would like my app to use other identity providers. but to enjoy their product and to be able to authenticate either their information. So the App Fabric, Windows Azure App Fabric infrastructure provides us with such infrastructure, and that's called the Access Control Service. So the Access Control Service is a very open infrastructure. You can work with Access Control Service from everywhere. Everyone who can do HTTP can actually work with the Access Control Service because it has an OData support. It has a website integration. It deals with all the state-of-the-art standards like SAML, Security Assertion Markup Language. That is the standard for creating the actual tokens we were speaking about in the last session. Other standards that are required here are WS Trust, WS Federation, and all these are implemented using the Access Control Service. OpenID. OpenID is another infrastructure that's kind of the same thing. It does claim-based identity. And Access Control Service does work with OpenID.
I don't know. What kind of market share do they have these days?
OpenID is a real thing in the identity arena. And what we see here, that Microsoft is an open firm. It's open technology. It's not true that Microsoft has its own technologies and everybody else go away. No, Microsoft integrates with the world. And we can see that here. We can see it with the standards. We can see that with OpenID. We can see it with OData. You can really integrate from anywhere. Anywhere who does HTTP. Plain old HTTP can integrate with the Access Control Service and gain something from the Azure Cloud.
They're a lot more open than they were 10 years ago, that's for sure.
Of course, of course. This is a strategic point that we can see with Microsoft in the last few years, getting open. Now, there's other technologies out there. We should work together. We should do Java. We should do PHP. We should do OpenID. We should do REST. We should integrate with the world. You can write Java on top of Azure. You can do web roles using PHP. So it's an open infrastructure, and we can see it here. Now, I can work with several identity providers just off the box. I can work with Google. I can work with Facebook. I can work with LiveID. I can work with Yahoo. You might say, hey, these are competitors. But hey, we're speaking about openness. We speak about integration. And when you integrate, when you truly integrate, you integrate with the world. And Google exists. Hey, there's Google out there. And we should integrate with Google. That's the world. We should provide services to them, and they will provide services to us, and we'll enjoy together. We are an open technology. And of course, we integrate with ourselves with ADFS 2.0, AD Federation Services. Active Directory Federation Services. Active Directory Federation Services is part of Windows Identity Foundation, in a way. And what Active Directory Federation Services does is take the plain old AD that we all love and use and bring it to the claim-based arena. So I create a claim-based identity from AD. So, of course, I can have an ADFS machine, and then I have an STS, and the Access Control Service can integrate with that STS. So, where are we? The Access Control Service currently is not in a release. It is on Dev Labs. So, it is in a lab scenario. So, we do not have it yet in release, but we can play with it. And this is the portal that they will expose to us. It's not the Silverlight portal that we used to work with in the last few days. It's the old portal, but they will come into the new portal very soon. And this is the actual thing that we need to do to manage the ACS, to map the token that we get from a certain identity provider to create a token we want to send to the actual application. We will demonstrate that shortly.
Yes, please do.
Okay. So, what we have to do now is open the portal. Let's do so. So that's App Fabric Lab. This is the current state of it. I have opened a namespace. This is something that you should do to be able to see what I'm doing now. So I assume that you open a namespace in App Fabric. I enter here. And now I can do three major things. I can manage the service bus. I can manage caching. And I can manage access control. So we're speaking about access control, right?
Yes.
So let's just enter.
Okay.
All right. So let us manage access control. Here we write manage access control. And here we get to the five steps that we have seen in the slides. Okay, so let's do so. Well, to which identity provider do we want to relate to? So let's click here, and we'll say, I want to use Google, I want to use Windows Live ID, and I want to use Yahoo, okay? And that's already there. Add.
You don't have that one clicked for some reason.
Because it's already there.
Oh, all right.
So I don't have to add it.
Okay.
To add it, okay?
Okay.
It's already there.
Right.
Okay, so here it is, okay, and I'm happy to go. These are the identity providers that I will use. I can edit those if I want, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, let's go to access control service. After choosing the identity providers, which we have to specify which is the relying party. Relying party, it's an awkward name. What does it mean, relying party?
The guy who's going to rely on the identity. It means us.
That's the application.
Our application.
Okay. So the application should rely on the STS. So we come and enter here. And we write a certain URL for our application, okay? So here we can press add relying party, and we write here the URL, the name, the return URL of our application. I have already done that, so we have localhost 777, okay? So we can go back. And now I have to create rule groups. Rule groups means how do I map claims coming from the identity provider to the claims I will distribute to the actual app.
Okay.
Okay? So if I will go to my default rules group, okay? I take the claims... these claims, and what I do now is a very simple thing. I will just pass them as is.
Mm-hmm.
So I will not map anything because it's a very simple demonstration. But what I can actually do is create here several rules and do some actions. What will I map? What will I not map? Will I create another claim type of claim, etc. Well, practically speaking, I have finished. I have identity providers that I will work with. I have a relying party application. I have the rule groups.
Oh,
so I know who will I work with, who is my application, and how do I handle the actual claims. Now, if I go here to application integration, I get all the information I need to reference this particular STS, the STS that I was just creating, because the access control service is an STS. So I take this, and now let's close the solution from the last presentation. And we'll open another solution. And let's go to ACS Begin. So we'll take a very simple website. And we'll open it. And remember that we wrote that we are working against 7777. That's the port.
Yep, yep.
So let's just make sure that that is going to be our port. So we'll go to web, and it's a specific port, 7777. This is where I want to work at. Fantastic. Now, let's do what we learned to do on the last session, add STS reference. So, we are http://localhost.7777. That's us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are doing HTTP now, and it's better to do HTTPS, wouldn't it? But, well, that's just for a demonstration.
Yeah.
Well, we'll say that's okay.
I agree.
Okay, but in the real life, of course, you want to do HTTPS.
I agree with
that. Well, let's use an existing HTTP STS. Well, the access control is the STS. And we'll take the details that we just took from the portal. Mm-hmm. Where is the metadata? Okay, next. And we'll do just next. We don't want to do certificate change. We won't do encryption. We won't do any of those things. And we'll finish. Fantastic. And now, let us run. We'll hope for good. And what happened? We went to Live AD.
So he did.
Okay. Instead of going to the app, we are redirected to Live AD because this is the actual identity provider that I chose. I did not choose Google, I just showed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not really choose it. So Live ID was the only one I did choose. So let's go to Live ID. And I will...
Guys, those guys are writing backwards. What's going on there?
That's Hebrew. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's an odd language. I enter Live ID. And here I am in the ACS example.
Okay.
So here I am in my site. So as you have just seen, I managed the ACS... access control service, I decided to which identity provider I want to work with, and then I created some mapping of the claims, and then I used that information when I created an STS reference, and that's it.
Hmm.
A very simple step, and I gain a lot of power from it.
Now that ACS, just where exactly is it in its development? Is it shipping now?
It's shipping in a very short period.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you the exact date. This is something that, I really cannot tell.
Uh-huh.
But very, very soon.
Okay.
Very, very, very soon. So, let's go back to the deck. Let's share.
I got a question here. Is it possible to create your own identity providers?
Of course. It is very simple using just to create an SDS using Windows Identity Foundation, or you can use ADFS 2.0. So yes, it is very easy.
So look up the student ID in your student database, for
example. Exactly. The beauty is how simple it is. Because back in the old days, it was difficult.
Yes.
And this really prevented ISVs and applications, etc., from using claim-based identity. But now claim-based identity is a simple thing. It's powerful, yet it's very simple.
I remember doing it once the hard way, you know, just for the sheer pain of it. And, man, I just do not want to do that thing again.
Okay. So after doing access control service and after doing Windows Identity Foundation, so we pretty much understand the power of authentication and authorization using claim-based identity in the Windows Azure. Now, I want to refer back to your talk.
Yes.
I really loved it.
You know? Oh, well, thank you. Thank
I
you
really
very
loved
much.
The talk you gave about storage, about blobs, about tables, about queues.
It was a fun talk to give, and all you have to do is open your veins and bleed. You know what I mean?
And you know what I really liked is I saw the pictures of your kids there.
Uh-huh.
I just like to see pictures.
Yeah,
see
me
picture
too.
Of
this
kids.
I mean, I always thought they were boring, and now that I have my own, I bore other people with them. Isn't that great?
I really like it. But I was thinking to myself, hey, you put your pictures of your kids out there in a blob.
Yeah.
And then I can access it using a simple browser because the storage is independent. So all I did is just a plain HTTP request out there to the blob. And I can see this data. Now, well, your children are nice. They're beautiful. I love to watch their pictures. So you would love to give me the access to this blob, and maybe you would love everybody to see the pictures
of
your kids.
Well, the guy across the street in my house actually is a convicted something that you don't really want to be living next to.
So, but you might want to protect that data. So if looking at storage in general, we have blobs, we have queues, and we have tables. Queues and tables can only be accessed using the queue client or the table client that you showed in your talk. Now, to get access to that client, to create that client, you needed the connection string.
Yes.
And the connection string had a username and a password, a credential to the storage. And as we said today, well, this connection string should be encrypted and handled correctly as a configuration protection. But what about blob?
Yeah, blobs are handled differently, aren't they? They're just such useful things.
Blobs, I could access the blob using plain, simple IE. Well, is it secure? Well,
no.
It can be open, but it can also be closed. So what I can do is to say, hey, I want to create a certain policy. I would give you a certain access, read, write, update, etc. A certain access. I would give you that for a certain amount of time, beginning from now, ending here. And I want to give you that access only to you. And the way I do that is by creating a very special URL. So I can tell the blob storage, the blob container, hey, do not be public. Do not allow access from any client whatsoever, from IE. Do not allow that. To gain access to the blob, you'd have to have a special URL. I will create that URL especially for you. I will give you that URL in whatever way I can send it to you, of course, encrypted. I will do the connection HTTPS. So you will use the URL I will give you, and it's a very special encrypted signed URL. And only then you have the access, you have the URL.
That's right.
Only then the blob storage will show you the data. You'll be able to access that data, or maybe handle that data, read, write, etc.
So I can send it to my parents, and they can see their grandchildren.
Again, your parents would be able to see their grandchildren, but the guy across the street, which didn't really like, well, he will not be able to get access to your blobs or whatever. Okay, So this means that I can have access control policy over blobs.
Okay.
And to do that, I use what's called a shared access signature.
Mm-hmm.
A shared access signature is that special URL. It's like a key. It's like a token which holds all the information required for the blob storage to understand what shall I authorize you to do, for how long, when, etc. And this is very important when handling blobs. So I think that we might want to see a little demonstration.
I would love to see a little demonstration.
So let's share the desktop again. From here, I will just open another instance of Visual Studio. I will go and open the relevant solution. So let's go here, the samples, security. By the way, all the samples will be published. And shared access signature, and that's the solution. Let's run this. Okay.
All right.
Let's just run this and see what happens. Okay, we're running the deployment. We'll take just one more minute to start. Here it is. And we will see something very interesting. Let's just start. Okay. Remember that, using blobs, the same old demonstration that we saw two days ago.
Okay.
So we'll go and create a blob. So let's browse. And I will go to pictures again. And I love my kids, as we all know. And that's from a year ago. I saved it to blob storage.
Okay.
But I can't see it here.
So you can't.
I can't see it here. And boy, why can't I see that here?
My guess would be because you locked it up.
The thing is that I'm in a browser.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very simple picture control.
Yep.
It's an image control.
Mm-hmm.
And the image control now directs straight to the blob storage, to
sure.
the URL.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's no public access anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If... we'll see the list of blobs. Here is the blob.
Okay.
But when I click it,
oh,
I create a shared access token.
Mm-hmm.
I see the shared access token.
Very nice.
Let's take this shared access token. We'll copy that. We'll go to IE. Here we are in IE. We'll paste that here. And here it is.
Oh, I'll be doggone. Look at that.
Okay.
Oh, how cute. What is that? 3 years, 4 years?
She is three, and he is a year and a half.
Ah, neat.
But that's a year ago. She
okay.
would. She just turned four.
Uh-huh.
So, as you can see, I took a blob.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in the blob storage, but yet it was closed. Only if you had the special URL, only then you would be able to access the blob.
That's neat.
That's neat. That's very
it
nice.
Is.
That's strong.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see how it was done, let's go to the code. And I have here a create shared access token helper function. And let's go here, shared access token, generate shared access signature. Here it is. And so I go to my container, and I make sure that my container is not public, okay? Uh-huh. And that's the, and now I go to the blob and tell blob get shared access token signature for this blob policy that I just created. And here is the blob policy, and here in the blob policy that we just created here, I say that you can read the blob from now on till tomorrow. That's it.
Okay.
All right. Now, what's nice about this URL is the way we create it, okay, because this create a string, and I take that shared access signature, and I just concatenate it to the actual blob URI.
Sure.
That's it. That's all I have to do.
Just bang the strings together. Neat.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple code. Good. You're most welcome to look at the code later
simple
on.
Simple is good.
And here it is. We have a shared access token, shared access signature.
Boy, that didn't take much to do either.
No. Very, very simple.
Hmm.
So let's go back to the slides. And we'll wrap things up. So we have seen that the Microsoft data centers are secure. It's a huge infrastructure there. It's a huge physical infrastructure, huge protection infrastructure. The Microsoft data center provides us with patching, frequent patching of the OS, of the database. There is virtualization, network virtualization. So all the basic layers of security are handled for us very, very good. Maybe even better than we would have been able to do ourselves.
Far better than I would have been able to do myself, let's put it that way.
And then we go to application security, and we spoke about different topics in application security, and we consecrated in authentication and authorization. And we have seen how the Windows Azure platforms allows us to handle any types of authentication, role-based identity or claim-based identity. We have seen the integration with Windows Identity Foundation, yet with Access Control Service that provides us with the ability to authenticate against multiple access control services and identity providers. Then we added a bit more information to the talks you gave about Azure Storage and saw how access to blobs can be secure, how we can have access control policy on tops of blobs and make sure that our data is safe. We also said that tables and queues are automatically being saved using the connection string credentials, and they should be encrypted in the configuration, in the configuration files. So I really recommend to go and do the labs in the training kit, the Windows Azure and Passive Federation, which demonstrate claim-based identity we have just seen. And there's lots of information in the following resources. You can read about Access Control Service, about Windows Identity Foundation, about storage. Information about web application security can be found in OASP.org, Open Web Application Security Project. There's a lot of information and guidance there, how to build a secure web application and how to implement application security in general. And I really recommend to go to the Windows Azure Community Forum, where you would see lots of questions and answers. You're welcome to post your own questions, and you will be amazed how quickly they will be answered there. So there's lots of information here, lots of opportunities in the Windows Azure Community Forum. Well, with that, we'll sum up. Thank you very much, and we'll see you in 10 minutes in Dave's talk.
Okay, very good. We'll see you in a bit.